Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
So we are having a series this summer, and we're calling it Summer in the Miracles of Jesus. And I'm going to be sharing with you just for a bit, and then Chris and Simon, they will come and share a testimony. So let's get into this together. So I'm going to share with you from a passage in Luke 5, and the verses are from 1 to 11. It's a very famous story for a lot of you, but let's read together. Okay, so it goes like this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting in one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and told the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners and in the other boat and to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began both to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, as you're studying the Bible, you come to a miracle or to a parable or to a teaching or to something that Jesus has done, and you would be saying, "I wonder why the Holy Spirit led the author of the gospel to write this part. Like, why is this here? Why is it situated in that place? I mean, what's the importance of this miracle?" And you can look at it and say, well, you know, Jesus was compassionate because Simon didn't have any food to eat. And so he said, well, let me get him a couple of fishes so he can eat today. Because, you know, he worked all night and didn't catch anything. You can say that Jesus was just flexing his muscles, you know, showing that. But I would say that Jesus was working on Simon's heart. Simon met Jesus first when Andrew, his brother, called him and told him, "Hey, look, we found the Messiah. John the Baptist is talking about him." He went to him and, you know, Jesus said, "You're going to be called Cephas," and which is Peter. And he's kind of, yeah. And he's thinking, you know what, I didn't even make it to be a disciple of a rabbi. And I'm married. I have a mother-in-law, I have a wife, I have kids to feed. I need to go and attend to my work. And then he went and attended to his work. And on that night, he caught nothing. This is a time where it's from hand to mouth. You know, this community, that culture at the time, that's just like what you catch is what you live on. And he caught nothing. Lovely day, yeah? Happy day. Simon is really excited. And Jesus came with a crowd. Don't you think he could have stopped anywhere on the lake? Or away from the lake even? And just preached. The end of chapter 4 was saying that Jesus was preaching in the synagogues and different cities and so on. I'll tell you what I think. Jesus intentionally came to that place and to those two boats on the lake. He could have stopped anywhere else on the lake. He came to that place because in his heart, he had Simon. And can I tell you that you are not here today by coincidence? And Jesus doesn't knock on your door by coincidence. He has you in his heart. And even when you are so consumed in what you are doing, not a bad thing, not a sin. You're just about your livelihood, yeah? Jesus is thinking of you and would come to where you are to do a miracle in your life so that you would know that he is Lord and that you can live an abundant life. Not just a fisherman's life, but someone who would fish men from now on. Someone who would be invited, though you didn't make the cut of being a disciple, you would be invited to follow Jesus and be his disciple and be his apostle even. This is the miracle. You see, they left the fish. You can depend really on Jesus and not on your livelihood, not on the fish that you catch, when you really get to know who Jesus is. So I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. Number one, this miracle is there for you because Jesus is coming to you. Number two, this miracle is available if you obey. Have you noticed what Simon did? Simon said, "Master, we toiled all night, took nothing, like nothing, not even a couple of anchovies." Psst. But because you said so, at your word, because your word for me is more important than my experience, because you cared and you came to me when even my best didn't make a difference, I'm going to do what you are saying. So if you obey, if you go with him, especially to the deep, as Jesus was calling him, if you step out or step into something, because Jesus is telling you, even that you see that this won't work, it will not happen, it cannot happen, it doesn't make sense. If you trust him and obey him, a miracle will happen. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're fighting for. I don't know what your challenges are. But I know that Jesus will lead you to victory. So that's number two, if you obey. Number three is this word, and I'm going to finish with that and call Chris and Simon. Jesus is telling you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid from your weakness. You see, Simon is telling him, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Now that I know who you are, look, this won't work. I'm a sinful man. I'm really weak. I know my weaknesses. I know that I'm not about you. I'm about myself. I know how the enemy is winning ground in my life. I know the fights that I'm losing. This won't work. Depart from me. And Jesus is saying, do not be afraid. If the enemy is telling you or shaming you about anything, Jesus is still saying, do not be afraid. If your experiences or your past is telling you you haven't made it and you cannot make it, you are a failure, do not be afraid. If your recent experience that you've tried your best and your best maybe wasn't good enough and you didn't make anything, you didn't catch anything, do not be afraid. If you're caught about your life, your net caught you, and this is what all your life about, that your burdens, pay the mortgage, pay the bills, try and just, you know, scrap by, make it through, just have something nice to eat so you can maybe put a smile on your face. Jesus is freeing you from this net that you are so consumed by. Not that it's sinful or bad. It is freeing you from those burdens, freeing you from thinking that only you would take care of yourself, freeing you from living like you are the only one who would provide for you. And he is not just giving you provision, but he is inviting you to an abundant life. I'll make you a fisher of men. You will catch men from now on. You used to catch fish just about to live. I'm going to transform your life and really give you satisfaction. You will catch men. You will catch humans. You will change the life of people. You will be different. And you will make a difference in the life of people around you. Do not be afraid. Because it doesn't count on you. People who know Jesus here and who are following Jesus, God's word to you, do not be afraid. No matter where you are, no matter how you're feeling excited or deflated, you're feeling victorious or not, Jesus is the victory. Do not be afraid. Jesus is your salvation. Do not be afraid. Jesus is your leader and he knows how to lead you. Do not be afraid. He's coming to you where you are, because this is how gracious he is. This is how loving he is. And he's giving you an opportunity to transform your perception of who he is, or what he's asking for, that you would just obey and go deeper with him. He's inviting you to go deeper with him. Wherever you are, go deeper. Take a step. And he's telling you, if you realize that you cannot make it, if you realize everything bad about you, if you realize even that you're okay, but you cannot do this, he's telling you, do not be afraid, and inviting you to follow him and to have an abundant life. Let us hear a story of someone who met with Jesus and was thinking nothing will ever work for him. He lost hope. But Jesus met him where he was. And everything will change when you meet Jesus. Chris, would you come? I want to introduce Chris. For those who don't know Chris, Chris Moffat is a brilliant father, a great husband, and an amazing friend. He's a friend of mine. And what I really appreciate and love about Chris is that he's serious about Jesus. He's serious about Jesus. He loves Jesus. Okay? Chris, hand over to you.
Thank you, Magdi. Well, can I invite Simon up as well? So it's great to be sharing this morning. For those who don't know me, I'm part of this Wellspring family, and I'm also one of the chaplains at YMCA. Does anyone know the big monstrosity in this Shining You Into Centre? There's still this big concrete block in the middle of it. That's us. And for those who don't know what we do, so many different things around the county, but have four hostels, that's one, for 150 people who are affected by homelessness in some way, and just gives people a space for a couple of years to get life back on track and to rebuild and then move on. And so, Simon, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for receiving me. Like most people, my life started to unravel last year, more than ever. Somehow I found myself at the YMCA, really lost all of what we class as our possessions, our things that we've gathered. But most of all, I'd lost my hope in life, my faith in life. So I landed a couple of days before Christmas at the grand old age of 52 at the YMCA, which wasn't really in the plans. From there, someone stops the fall. You have people that help your day-to-day life. But what became really abundant was the faith that I'd lost. I'd suffered with ill health for a number of years. And really it was putting lots of patches on the outside when fundamentally it was the inside that was suffering most of all.
So you then joined us on this journey, this adventure called Living Life to the Full, which is a course that we've developed in the hostel, 8 weeks and a 3-day retreat, just to explore some of the big questions of life, like who am I and why am I here and what is the truth? So do you want to share a little bit about your experience on that?
Really, the big thing, you're living in a hostel and someone puts a little notice on the notice board that you can have 2 days away at a beach. So I challenge anyone not to put their name up.
Didn't you say the first thing that caught your attention was there's some volunteers who come in with homemade cake in a cuppa, and that's the first thing that got you, cake?
Absolutely, absolutely. I spent the first 3 weeks head down, head into my phone, keeping away from everyone. I could see lots of things going on, but really wasn't going to get involved until one Thursday night there was a lovely chocolate cake caught my eye. That was it. So I had a piece of chocolate cake, very casually we started conversations and I felt myself being drawn out in such a positive way. That resonated, I saw the signs for the retreat and I was asked, do you fancy this? Sure, a couple of days on the beach, that's all I'm going to give. Over a period of weeks we did some coursework and you realise that, you know what, this is a chance for me to reset lots of different things. More and more as you got into it, and part of the natural selection, people realised it's not going to be a jolly just sitting on a beach. So people would sort of come and go. But there was a core, few of us that carried through and faced a lot of our own demons. We then went to a little retreat down in Essex by the sea, which was very magical. There's three different hostels.
Four. So 14 residents across four hostels came along.
One of the things that really resonated, you know, we'd all been in various paths to get to where we got, but we were all at the bottom. Slowly, people are fighting their way through. But this gave you the space, the chance to stop, to rest, to think. There's this wonderful, wonderful old chapel. Our first evening, very casually, we were led to there and sit there in peace and quiet, which for me was probably the first time in about 30 years. I've sat down quietly. I've not been talking. Nothing on. No phone receptions. None of the day-to-day things that will bother your life. Something very magical happened that night. No big speeches, no big things, but just silence. We left that chapel back to our digs that evening. And something inside of me had changed. There was questions I had going on in my head that I hadn't thought about for many a year. I woke up at 5:30 the next morning with a still determination to go back to the chapel to find out, well, what's changed? Because something's different. Something feels different than it had done previously. That was resonating. That day, the morning when I got back there, I came and had breakfast. Things were different. The two fundamental things with me. I wasn't alone anymore. I felt alone all through this life of a journey, but suddenly I wasn't alone. And I wasn't as fearful for my own future. Before, you can't see anything, I can't see a path away from this. But suddenly that didn't seem to matter at that point. There was a path I was on.
Well, what do you think changed it for you? What happened in the chapel?
Without doubt. Throughout this path getting to the YMCA, you lose a lot of your connections in life, your friends, your things that you do. The biggest one that I'd realised was my connection with God. God had been in my life, my very early life, but somehow through my own choices, my own pathways, it hadn't been so important to me, and I hadn't had that connection. Certainly that couple of days was the biggest reconnection in my life, and that fundamentally was what changed me. That changed me inside. A lot of my ailments that I'd been whinging about was starting to disappear, and one minute I was limping, the next minute I was almost sprinting, doing cartwheels back to the coffee room.
And it hasn't been able to take a smile off his face either. Every time I see him, he's got this massive grin. How has it impacted your life since?
Literally in every way. From the moment we left, you knew things were going to be different. You were not going back. You were going forward to a new life. Within days, I was getting a number of things were coming through that I couldn't believe. How has this suddenly started to happen to me? And it was so quickly. I got in touch with someone, or someone got in touch with me, that we hadn't been even known each other for quite a while. God brought me love back into my life. But from every day, I see things now. Just how is this happening? As much as I was arguing before, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this torrid time? Well, I'm on the other side now. Why am I so blessed? And it can change so, so quickly.
No, thank you so much for sharing. It's been awesome to see the change, and a lot of people have noticed. And did you see other people change as well?
The whole group were very nervous. We all had, quite a few of us had a minicab number stored in our phone. Give me the excuse and I'm off. But throughout the whole process, you were given lots of ways out, but everyone kept on this forward journey. There was different people had different involvements. There was one guy in particular had almost danced around the various activities, occasionally putting a toe in, but then retreating back within himself. Slowly, over the 2 days, we had a great evening. We had a bonfire on the beach, which is always quite nice, with some marshmallows. Very surprisingly, he then put his head above everybody, and he drew the whole group in together, and he faced his own demons. He faced his fears and the things that have been bothering him. But he brought the whole group together. The next morning, we sat at breakfast, and it was just smiley juice all round.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And you know these passages where you see it says that Jesus went into a place and everyone brought their sick and he healed everyone. And it's always like, I want to see that. I think this was the closest I've come to seeing that. Not that everyone was physically healed, but Jesus touched everyone in a way that was really significant to them. Most people who didn't come there really knowing who Jesus was or wanting to connect with the spiritual side of life.
Absolutely.
But Jesus knew exactly what people wanted. Just another story as well from one of our friends from Bishop Stortford. He, on the second night, along with about five or six others, he connected with God and gave his life to Christ and really felt the power of God, could hardly stand up. And he came to us after the bonfire. And he talked about how he had voices in his head since he was five, of dead people saying some really quite dark stuff to him, and he hadn't been able to sleep all of his life. Obviously that does a lot to your mental health and your peace of mind. And he was like, I want that to stop. And we were like, we think Jesus wants that to stop as well. So we prayed for him, and the next morning he came down, like most people, just beaming. And just saying, I had the best night's sleep ever. And the voices have stopped completely. I spoke to him this week again, and still he's doing so well, hasn't had any of that. Jesus brought healing in mind, people's minds. He then also went to a church meeting the week after, and they prayed for him, and he had dermatitis on his hands healed and a slipped disc that he'd had for 11 years, pain in there. That was just healed like that. And again, that's not come back, and he's got back into full-time employment doing manual work, and that his back's strong, and he got baptized. And, you know, it's just amazing to see the different ways in which God brought healing, mind, body, spirit, through just everyone who was a part of it. So I think
everyone attended the course, literally, but everybody was touched in some way or another. And the faces coming in to the faces going out, different.
And in the light of your experience, do you have a desire to do anything with that, you know, for others? It sounds like a leading question, but it's because we talked about this.
Definitely. I mean, this was an incredible journey for me. It still is. Daily, this journey is just great. I have some good friends at the YMCA, and I think my calling is back to help some of those other people. I was the one of the 99 sheep, so I can find a lot of the others.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to see what God will be doing at the Y or elsewhere, wherever he calls you. So Magdi asked me to share just briefly as well a sense of what I feel called to. And before starting at the YMCA 5 years ago, when Ruth and I were praying about it, Ruth had a picture of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. And of Jerusalem. And I really believe that God's got a calling on some of us to rebuild the ministry of the YMCA back on its Christian foundations. We were really birthed 175 years ago in a move of God where one humble draper named George Williams just had on his heart to pray for those around him. And one by one, people encountered Jesus and came to know him and his healing in their lives. And as they met and prayed and did Bible studies, the accounts talk of really knowing the presence of God in those times. And just that outward desire for them then to bring God's goodness and his love to those around them and to reach out in social justice and with hope. And I believe that's what God's wanting to do now. And what we've seen on the retreat, which has just blown us away and just made us, you know, thank Jesus for the way he meets with each one of us. I believe that's just a foretaste of what, you know, God wants to do in the YMCA going forward, that it be a place where people can come from whatever situation where they may feel, you know, hope is lost and, you know, don't know where to turn, but actually meet with Jesus, who can bring love and healing, and then also bring them to a place where, like Simon, wanting to then bring that to other people. And I believe that's not just the YMCA. You know, I believe that's for us as a family, and I believe that's what God's doing in this town. So, yeah, it was exciting to see a little taste of that. And just a final thought, just following from what Magdi was saying earlier. I think sometimes we can feel like we're not worthy of God's healing or His love. You know, we can feel like we're too far gone, or we failed, or we've messed it up. Our lives are messy. They all are. Or we can feel like actually, you know, he couldn't use me to bring his life to other people. You know, if you knew me, you'd know that. And yet, we are just the kind of people that Jesus loves to go after. He goes after each one of us. He knows our brokenness. And all he asks is that we come, you know, honestly, you know, with our brokenness, with our fears, with our, you know, shames, and he meets us in that place with his great love, and he brings healing to us in that place, and he lifts our heads to see actually he believes in us, not because, you know, in our own strength we can do it, but actually he can use us to bring healing to others in our workplaces, in our communities, because of his love, because of his power. And all he asks is that simple trust, trust and following him. So.
I think it's an invitation for all of us to step out. Step out of where you are. I'm not saying what you're doing is bad or wrong. You might but just be tending, mending the nets that your livelihood depends on. Yeah. But Jesus is inviting a step out. So just want you to know there is nothing more satisfying in life than actually following and living the calling that Jesus has called you to live. Following him and seeing him at work, transforming people, changing lives, and changing your life. And that your life becomes a light for people who are sitting in the darkness. And all of a sudden they can see. And your hands can be extended and touch people's eyes, and their eyes would be opened. People can see and hear and live and breathe. So, like Simon, not the Simon, Simon in the Bible, if you're afraid, but you came to know that Jesus is Lord, just be truthful, as Chris was saying. It's fine. It's fine if you think you're not good enough. It's fine if you're actually quite aware and truthful about that you're a sinful man, as Simon said. It's all right. But you can still go to Jesus and hear him saying, do not be afraid. Just follow me. Do not be afraid. Just give me your heart. I will change you. I will transform you. And I will lead you. Everyone who wants to do that step, even if you've done that step before, but you feel that you want to take a further step, to go deeper with him. If you're feeling like that, stand up. And Chris will pray for those who will stand up. You're doing this between you and the Lord. If you're feeling this, if you're feeling that he's calling you to step even deeper with him in faith, though you don't have it, stand up. If you're not feeling that, please don't.
Yeah, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, you are here. Thank you, you are not just here. You are here, your presence is here. But Lord, thank you are here and you are ministering to each one of our hearts. And Lord, thank you that you know us through and through. Thank you that we can take off our masks. We can take off our own strivings. We can we can lay it all bare before you. And you meet with us now with your great love. And Lord, to each one of us and to each one who stood up, Lord, you say, I've sought you, I love you, I'm proud of you. I can restore your broken places. I can use you for great purposes. And Jesus, thank you that it's not us working anything up. Thank you, it's not us doing anything fancy. Lord, it is just simply us receiving your love and saying, yeah, I trust you, Jesus. I don't know how I can do it. I don't know how I can move forward from my situation. I don't know how I can reach those people I want to reach. Lord, thank you. Yeah, we don't know. we don't know. And yet, it's just that simple trust. And Lord, we say we trust you. We trust you, Jesus. You are able to bring healing to our hearts. You are able to turn what the enemy means for harm around for good and use it for the saving of many lives. Lord, you are able to bring your light and your love and your hope through us to people who seem too far off. Lord, that's what you do. You love going after the one. You love meeting with those who feel on the edges. You love to bring your power into situations around us. So, Lord, we say we trust you. I just pray for everyone standing up. Holy Spirit, you fill them afresh. And you would fill them with courage, which comes from knowing your great love and your great power. Lord, you would fill them with vision. Lord, you would give them dreams. You would give them pictures you would give them, people would come to mind, or verses would come to mind about what you're calling them to. Lord, like you said to Peter, I'll make you a fisher of men. I pray that you would speak to each heart and bring vision as to what you were calling them to. Thank you.
Can I as well say, if you've never met Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus in your life, or you used to know him and, like Simon, you just drifted apart and you dropped away, can I tell you, you're not here by coincidence. You didn't hear that testimony by coincidence. Jesus came to where you are, to call you. As we're going to start singing, all what I'm going to ask from you is this. In your heart, say, Jesus, help me to open my heart fully to you. And I'm saying, show me your love. I need you. Show me how to give you my life. You see, it's God meeting you deep inside in your spirit that transforms you. Just open yourself up and say, I want to meet with you. I want you to be that Jesus to me. I want you to be my Lord.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.